understand. All right, Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So we saw what was introduced into man. The man that could have dominion, and we saw what he did in chapter 2. That man that exercised dominion even over his body. But when sin came, he was afraid. He lacked confidence even over if he made his body, did he not realize that there was no cloth on the body? Or, of course, knowledge made him understood what nakedness and the rest was. But you see the first statement, I was afraid. Praise God. So we realize that fear and authority cannot go hand in hand. Are we on the same page? Once there's fear, you cannot exercise authority. And a man of authority is a man that is bold. So, if after the fall of man, fear was introduced into him and he could not exercise dominion as he should, the things that, like some persons are afraid of cockroaches, ants. Hey, Rejoice, you come and explain that bringing ant back to life. Oh. Anyway, after service, sir. So that's where you exercise your dominion. You'll be killing it and making it alive. Then you now choose the one to give life to. That's how you kill scorpion and you need to raise it back to life. Okay. We'll see that one after service. So the man that was supposed to exercise dominion, what he was supposed to not be afraid of, he became scared of it. There are some persons that cannot stay in the same radius with a dog. Some persons are, they can, in fact, like Joshua, that saw grasshopper and then he was about to jump up from where, what was that? No, I know you're a macho man. So those kind of small things, you should give fear. At that point in time, you know the funny thing is, some persons will say, but I'm praying, I'm not seeing any results. If you're privileged to see how they are praying the prayer they're talking about, you realize that there's no single iota, there's no single drop of confidence in that prayer. As in, the prayer is just, you know, when somebody's, there was a day I was on a flight and there was serious bad weather, turbulence. The plane was shaking, ga. Then I saw emergency prayer warriors and all the prayer, as a few people, strangers, people that didn't know, they were holding hands and praying. The one woman's voice was particularly loud. She was just praying and everybody was, they don't even know our own pedigree, that this one is there. People were just saying amen. I just keep on disturbing my sleep. Oh, Jesus, your word says I shall not die but live to declare the word of the Lord. I cannot die in this plane. Oh, my God, I refuse to die in this plane. You know that kind of, I don't know, emergency panic. There was no, I can't trace faith inside. It's just that this is what I'm supposed to be saying, no? So let me just say it. Do you understand? Let me just, especially some person where you're sick and then you just, in the name of Jesus, it is well. It is well. Oh, it is well. I'm well. I'm well. Oh. And you know that this person that just said this thing now, you just look at the person, look at it. There's no, you don't even yourself, you don't believe that the what you are seeing now can cause any change in your body. You just say so that they will not say you did not confess. If they come now, the pastor asks me, what have you been saying? Have you been speaking in word? I say, yes, sir, I have. But without authority, even if you are saying they say animals have this psychology. Is it dogs? If a dog can sense your fear, or as they say, some animals can sense your fear. So even if you stand there, you're doing, I said, go back. Oh, I said, I'm going to be serious today. Go back. Did you not hear me? Go back. But the dog, you see the dog, you just keep backing and backing and backing at you. Like, if he wants to go, and you'd be like, I'm saying go back. And the dog has seen fear written all over your destiny and your future. And then I said, okay, this one doesn't have any authority. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that wrote a story on his, in his book, one of his books, and said he saw a woman, she was going out, and then a dog was following her. And she was telling the dog, go back, go back, go back. And then the dog was still... After it just setting this stand, the woman got upset, turned around, and hit her. I said, go back! And then the dog just... Anyway, and I said, yes, that is how you treat the devil. That is what Smith Wigglesworth told the woman. He said, yes, that is how you treat the devil. So you see a change in tone, a change in authority, a change in confidence. So it's not by saying, this is what they say I should be saying, and I'm saying it. It's a function of what you are saying. Do you even know what you are saying? Do you believe it? Do you... Are you saying it with actually the mindset of creating a change that you won't see? Or you are just saying it so that you will have fulfilled all righteousness? There's a difference between there is a change I'm expecting to see, and that is why I am saying it. And when that is your mindset, you know you will not stop saying it until you see the change, right? Because that is what you are actually saying it to see. So you are going to focus on one scripture, just one. Then we'll start praying. Today's service is, you know, they have prayer services, they have word teaching meetings. Today's service is supposed to be confession service. Hallelujah. Because I know, okay, between Sunday and now, those things you have written, if you have actively said spoken words daily concerning this, can I see your hand? Actively. Your own is not active, your own is passively. Oh Lord, you know what I've written as you have said in my heart. Do. Joshua, let's see you raise up your hand. Joshua. You raise up your hand when you did not have a word to say. What were you not saying? That hand is suspicious. Hey. It's okay. Praise God. Brajan, welcome. So we are talking about authority, how we use our words and how we exercise authority in what we want to see. Okay, Mark 11. When we're in TBC, my pastor wants to open the scripture. He will say, open to Kenneth Hagin, chapter 11, verse 23. And then some persons that don't understand will be looking at him. Say, I said, open to Kenneth Hagin, chapter 11, verse 23. Okay, let's start from 20. I know we should be familiar with this scripture, Mark 11, verse 20. Jesus was walking the previous day, and he saw a fig tree and desired to eat of this fruit, but there was none. And then he said, no man eat of it. Some persons have brought a lot of debate from this scripture. Why would Jesus curse a tree? I thought he only had life to give. Why? Oh, you've not seen those arguments? I thought Jesus only had life to give. If you say God cannot kill, then why did the fig tree die from his roots? You know, there's plenty exegesis that are coming out from that scripture. Anyway, Mark 11, so it happened the previous day, and then they left. Verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, if your version says have the faith of God, can I see your hand? Your version says have the faith of God. Okay. Because that is actually the way it's translated. It's supposed to be have the God kind of faith. As in, the kind of faith you should have is the kind of faith that God gives. So when you have that faith here, yeah, then you say, I say very I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou covered and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. All right. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. All right. In verse 23, just count how many times saying, say it was used and how many times believing was used. So just do a quick count. John, you don't have very... Not even your phone. Okay, how many believe? Should be fast. How many believe in? How many say it? Okay. Rejoice, are you still counting? They're done. Okay, how many say it? Okay, so... According to that scripture, what are you supposed to place premium on? Why? Do you have an issue with faith? Is it possible for a believer to say, when Jesus said here now that have faith in God or have the God kind of faith or have the faith of God, is it possible for somebody to say, okay, my issue is that I don't have this faith yet? Remember how that... the man that wanted his child healed, and he said, "I believe, help my unbelief." So that scripture, all the scripture that I still don't understand. Because how can you say, "I believe, help down my unbelief"? So which one should we take? Are you asking for believing to be given unto you, or because if you are saying, "I have faith, give me faith," so whatever that meant. Praise God. So, what is there a believer lacking faith? So, all of you agree now that you have faith. Okay, Galatians 2:20. Shelly Maya. Galatians 2:20. Are we there? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is one of those scriptures that some, you know, there are about 10 or 20 scriptures that as a believer you should just know without looking at your Bible. Do you understand? It's just like John 3:16. Rejoice. Do you know the scripture? You know it, but you don't know it. Exactly what I just said now. I believe, help my own belief. I know it, but I don't know it. Honestly, English language is hard. People should help me. Okay, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, so you see what Paul said. That's the life I live now as a believer. How do I live it? By the faith of God. So it means every believer has the faith of the Son. So our issue is not faith. All right, so what is now our issue? Oh, so all of you agree that you're not saying. So we cannot start praying since we have already arrived at the conclusion. We are not saying things as we actually should. Because if we are to say like three times much more than believing. For example, you see a person saying, which is an example that I use? Okay, let me just use the popular one. You see a person sick and then you stay with the person one day, two whole days, you hear nothing. You just see the person reading Bible. Or at most praying in tongues. And then you say, do you believe that you can be healed? So of course I believe now. I believe. But do you know that you can judge if indeed the person believes? How will I know you believe? By what you say. So I just see you reading Bible and I see you just praying in tongues. And there's no single word you are saying concerning that situation. There's no emphatic statement. There's nothing you are saying specifically to address the issue. And yet you are saying, I have faith. After all, faith is in my mind. It's not true. The way I know you have faith is what I hear you say. Because the funny thing is, you can, if you are not saying it, you most likely don't believe it. You know, there is a way you know that God can heal you, that God is of course, sins are paid for, sicknesses have been healed in Christ Jesus, glory to God. Because if sin is dead, sickness should also be dead, hallelujah. So, you know, you just be confessing that, you just be saying, I know sickness is dead, he has taken away my sickness, ha, praise God. Sin is dead, no? Sickness has to be dead. So even poverty is dead. Whatever is the offshoot of sin has to have died with sin. Oh, you don't, that devil has died since now. I don't know why people don't believe Bible. Read Bible with the renewed mind. You are all babes in Christ. That's what he said. Praise God. So a person is there and this person you already knows and believe, and yet you not say anything. Because the funny thing is that there are some situations you will get to. You know that you know you have all the right knowledge. You know that all the, like is it Kenneth Hagin? I can't remember. But there is a popular healing minister that his wife was sick, really sick, had kidney issues, and then he had been praying and praying and praying, and there was no change. So he just had to approach his wife one day. Okay, what do you believe? The man said, well, honestly, I believe I will do a successful operation and I'll be fine. Immediately, they went to the hospital. Do you understand? It's not as if the woman did not know that she could be healed supernaturally. After all, her husband has been healing countless of persons. But somehow in her own case, what she honestly believed for was that she would have a successful operation. That she would just go and do operation and she would be successful and she would be fine. So at that point, there was no need forcing her to come and believe, oh yeah, go and do your operation. So don't think that because of a person's status or because of a person's standing, this person is definitely has faith to be healed. Or a person, this person definitely can whatever. If you can just have these reservations in your mind. Or maybe because of past experiences, you are just not sure. You know, there's this, I'm not just sure it will apply to me. I know, it's not as if I cannot doubt God's power, of course. I know that the power of God is ever at work in me. I know that situations can change. I know that favor is mine. But in this particular situation, let's just be looking. We'll keep trusting God. Let's just keep believing God. You know, that's one language we use as Christians a lot. I trust God. Let's just keep trusting God. The funny thing is, it's not your trusting in God that will cause any change. You saw the example we gave. Is it that God, I know Tola was writing, I agree with number one. Is it that there was he's laughing. Is it that the people prayed, and because they've prayed, God now said, okay, these people are praying. Oh yeah, send angel to go and deliver this person. Or as the people prayed, they activated things already that was provisions that was already provided for. Do you understand? Just exercise authority and use. So the issue is that many persons feel that God has power. So that's actually a lot of issues and a lot of Christians face. They will say, you know, when you are not sure that this sickness that is happening to you is a test from God, some persons believe that they are going through this particular thing as a test. That God is testing their faith. God wants to know how strong they are, whether they will deny him. So when you are not sure, for example, that this thing you are going through is whether it's from God or it's from the devil, you're not sure. You know, you be careful how you pray, because you don't want to look like you're fighting against God's will and God's plan for your life. So if God's plan for your life is poverty, you doesn't want to look like, no, the school, Jesus Christ, those years, when we felt like God can just make you lack, just to teach you dependence on him. That this you not having money and always being broke is to teach you that God can meet your needs per time. And so we are feeling spiritual. And so we'll say, okay, whatever will take me away from your will, oh God, if money is going to take me away from your will, may I not have it. Just give me what I need per time. And so you and that glory will go far. So we'll just be trusting God per time. My needs are met per time. So when the day comes, we need food, we'll believe that the food will come. Or the next day, we'll believe that. So we just believe that needs should be met as they come. Not that you have abundance to just be meeting in it. So it was a very funny thing. So we believe that trusting God is made manifest well. That's how you actually show faith in God, not when you have abundance. And when you have that kind of mentality, it will be hard to speak anything concerning wealth. It's hard to speak anything concerning health. Because you're not sure whether it is actually God that is teaching you a lesson. So we are prayer. Like my friend, I used to be very sick then. She's always sick, every month at least. And then you see her as she's sick there, she will play a guitar and she'll be singing songs that will want to even make you cry. Oh Lord, I trust in you. I give myself to your will, Lord. Use me, let your will be shown in my life. So we'll be feeling sorry for her, like, I'm not joking, though. She composes songs. She's a beautiful lyricist, as she sings beautifully. So she'll just be singing, and then she just felt like this was God testing her, and to know whether she's going to eventually deny him, because she felt that our own issue was much. It's even now she's far better, but she still has that mentality. She still has a little. It's getting better. She has a little. So she would just believe, we should trust, just trust in God's will, that this is everything that happens to you is a test. Because nothing, as far as she's concerned, she cannot be sick without God's permission. So if anything is wrong with you as a believer, it means God is definitely aware and God allowed it. That's a belief, and according to scripture. So she will quote the scripture that God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. It means that whatever is around you is what you can actually handle. So that was how she was going through life. And of course, then I didn't know better. So we were just in that circle, just going like that. It was a really tough period. When you have that mindset, it will be hard to speak against those issues. But thank God for the light in Christ, that he said, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, not with the Holy Ghost and with power. I'm sure we know that here by now. There is no separate Holy Ghost. God now poured Holy Ghost. Pum. So yeah, come and take power. Pum. So two pouring, Holy Ghost and with power. No, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So you see a clear-cut demarcation that anybody that is sick, anybody under that kind of bondage, is oppressed by who? The devil. So once you know that and you have settled that in your mind, that sickness, all these things are the works of the devil, it's easier for you to exercise the appropriate authority you should. So today we are going to settle it in your mind in case you are still not sure. Settle it now. God does not test with sickness. God does not test with poverty. So the fact that your leg got broken is not God's will. The fact that you did not have money to celebrate Christmas, not to have to buy chicken on Christmas Day, was not God's will. Rejoice, where's my chin-chin? Okay. The fact that you decided to fry chin-chin instead of coming for evangelism was not God's will. It was yours. Do you understand? You just know what I'm trying to say? Good. That was fully your will. So the fact that you had instead of people were taking malt on Christmas Day, and then all you had was water was not even cold, you had to take it from the tap, it's not that God was trying to show you or prove a lesson to you. Do you understand it? Once you know that in your mind, it will be easy for you to stand up and rebuke it or change it with your words. Then you realize that God's will for me is this. So I stand on the authority of that, and then I reject anything that looks contrary, whether or not it gives me any sense of holiness or piety. You know, this kind of, like somebody that said it was when he was on his sick bed, that was when he prayed the more. So he felt that God gave him that sickness to bring him closer to God. Like, I don't know. How does God correct? How does God correct? How does God teach you? How does God teach? Are you sure? Do you have any scripture for that? What's the scripture? Oh my God. Jesus, don't worry. I said I will not. I told you before that if you don't give me chinchi, I'm going to hack you. But I decided to forgive you. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. All right. So how does God correct? How does God instruct? See what happened where Peter was drowning. Peter. Are you Peter? Are you married to Peter? Or is your official boo Peter? Call him Peter, you're shouting him. So Peter was saying, Peter saw Jesus walking, "Master, if it is you, bid me to come unto thee." And Jesus said, "Come." And then Peter bounced and he was walking on the sea, and he was strolling to Peter. So he was strolling to Jesus on the water. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off and he started to do what? And he cried for help and said, "Master, help me." So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Are you sure? What did Jesus do? Oh, you have little faith. Okay. What did Jesus do? What she said now, is it? What did Jesus say that? When did he say it? When he was drowning. Okay. What did Jesus do? Just to this. Okay. Stephen, what did Jesus do? I don't understand. This is supposed to be a simple scripture. What did Jesus do? So Jesus stretched forth his hand to help Peter. Okay. What about little faith? Okay. The rebuke and the help, which one came first? If the rebuke came first, can I see your hand? If he said, "What about little faith," why did you doubt? If he said it first, can I see your hand? 3. Okay. Okay, 3. If he helped him first, can I see your hand? What's happening here? 1, 2, 3, 4. So the rest of you are where? 5. The rest of you are where? There's no first here. If the rebuke came first, can I see your hand? 1, 2, 3. If the help came first, can I see your hand? Where are you? You're raising your hand for the two, both of you. Tola is for me, carry baby. Tola, where are you? Rebuke or help? Hannah, where are you? Rebuke or help? So the help came first. Or should we go and read the story? As Peter was sinking, he stretched his hand and carried him first. Then I asked him, "Why did you doubt?" Do you understand? Because it gives you a picture that at least even if you are in a situation that is very bad, whether you want to call it or lack, whatever it is that you can think about, you're confused, you're doing this one. And you know, many persons will not say what they are receiving at that minute is there's this holiness thing that can happen to you, and you just feel like whatever comes to your mind while you are meditating or praying is the Lord speaking. Do you understand? It doesn't happen to you. You just feel like it's the Lord that has to be talking to you. So you see even words of condemnation or words of this thing is happening to you because of this thing, an explanation of your situation, and then you still feel like, okay, yeah, this is God. Be careful to note the difference. Okay? It's not the fact that you are praying and anything that comes into your mind at that point has to be God. Brother, let us discern. So God will not leave you confused or as Peter, because if at the end of the day, if Peter kept drowning and Peter now died, who correction call help? As they used to say it, who will that rebuke help? The dead body, that say, after you have raised, you say, "Peter, why? Okay, let me just feel sorry for you, I'll raise you up again." God helps. That is an ever-present help in time of need. So, instruct, and at the end of the day, he did not correct Peter with, of course, Peter doubted and rebuked him. You know, his rebuke was not, let me allow you to drown small for 5 minutes so that you will know not to doubt again. Just stay there. Peter, why did you doubt? Peter was still drowning. Peter, you have told people, don't be doubting. I was the one that said you should come. And you asked Peter was going down. Peter's head had already gone down. Peter, next time will you doubt? No, Master, who doubt? If maybe the water is better than the nose, you cannot hear again. I did not hear you. Master, no, I will not doubt. I will not do it. I will not do it again. I call. That was not what happened. So he saved him first and said, dude, why did you doubt? So that's the nature of our God. He's not the one that corrects with afflictions. He corrects us with his word. The things he has spoken is enough. You are the one that will either heed to that word or rebel against it. So stop looking for any supernatural dealing of God. Or I know people are supposed to say, I know how God talks to me. Me, I know my own relationship with God. You are a very special person. You are the half son. Half is bigger than for one, Abby. It's first son. I don't know. Yeah, your own relationship is special. I know how God talks to me. There's no special relationship. God speaks to each one by his word. It's those people claiming special relationship that are bringing special revelations from different places. I know how God gave me this rema. I know how God gave me this word. Praise God. All right, so just look at one more scripture. We exercise authority by our words. We exercise authority by what we say. If you are not talking, you have no authority. We are not using it. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Okay. I feel like reading from up. But let me just read the first 13 alone. We are almost out of time. Okay, verse 13. Are we there? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He was quoting, and then now said, we also believe and therefore do what? We also believe and therefore we do what? So how do I know that you believe? How do you tell yourself that you believe? So are we ready to change situations? That's just the authority. Because the funny thing is, the moment you stop speaking, you know, we did one analogy then in church, and we looked at that Mark 11:23. It shall have whatsoever it saith. And so the question was, you know King James language now, saith, is that past tense or present tense or past party, that thing that he said in English. What is it, Ife? English mistress. What is saith is what? Saith is what? Okay. See, King James language. It shall have whatsoever is saith. Mm-hmm. That saith is what? Eh? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Whoever says to this mountain. Yes. Greek scholar. That particular place, now, what does it mean? Which one is this? I don't understand this. That's the verb there. What is it? It's not in English. Present continuous. Okay, if you think it's past tense, can I see your hand? Is anybody that thinks it's past tense? Mm. Look at the Bible again, Mark 11:23. If you have another translation, fine. This is, you know, my own is KJV. Mm-hmm. No, and continue the last say. You honestly went back to say it. Is that say it we are saying now? That's it. And what is that say it there now? It's what? It's past. Okay? Tolu is what? It's past. Okay, what do you think? Okay, let me look at the Bible. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Hey, see English language. You're dealing with this for you. I wish to see people's work results. Chai! Stephen is what? Okay, Moses, what do you think? Present. Okay, so we are now having two school of thought. As if everybody here receiving one revelation from the same person, the same angel is whispering answer, one angel is whispering answer here. Oh yeah, angel, out! Oh yeah, all of you read the Bible. Uh-huh. Because everybody here say pastor, everybody here say that. Yeah, you heard his words? Man. I saw English. No wonder English is hard. Why so people should not be angry when people write posts on Facebook and somebody now comes and say, "Are you not saying?" It's hard to comprehend things. Don't think it's easy. Is your own pastor or present? Okay. Ha! Jesus, Holy Ghost, do it again. I'm asking nobody. Okay, so if you think it's past tense, can I see your hand? In the context of that scripture now, one last chance, 30 seconds, read Mark 11:23 again. Then, final answer. This is who wants to be a millionaire. Past tense. Okay? All right. Final answer. If you say past tense, can I see your hand? This is school now. You know I'm the teacher. Whatever I say is law. Uh-huh. Past tense. Okay? Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. Okay? If you finish, it's present tense or present continuous or whatever the present still is. Can I see your hand? Okay. Can I see your hand in present, present, continuous? Present or the present? Or the present? Where are you? You just passed. Tolu, you just passed with them, Abi. Oh, Shelly Bobo. Yes, my Shelly. Shelly, did you choose past or present? Shy. He raised up his leg. Okay. Yeah, if you are on the fence, if you don't know what it is. Okay, there's nobody on the fence. So, past tense and present tense. Should I close the exam? I should close the exam? Yes. Those people look always looking for extra time. It's not as if they are going to write anything different from what they have said. Okay. All right, so we have past tense. All the past tense people are on this side. And all the present people are on this side. I don't know. We have one present here. Okay, Anna, you said present. I would have moved you from here. I say, come to my right hand. Let us be at my left hand. You said past tense. All right, let's look at it again. Mark 11:23. I said I was going to be serious today and not be asking plenty questions. Oh, God. Change my life, Lord Jesus. Mark 11:23. Hey. Okay. For verily I say unto you. For verily I say unto you. As in, you know when he was saying that I say unto you. What was it? He was still talking, Abby. So that is both present and present continuous, right? Oh, okay. Because you went to look at past participle, Abi. Is it not strong? Strong, Abi. Oh, yeah. Now look at that same strong in say in the first word. The very first say there. And see what the root word is there. Can that be past? No, but can that be past? So I say unto you, can that be passed? Somebody's talking right now, saying, I say unto you, can that be passed? So because of, you know, Bible is reported speech. Anyway, it's not yet we'll be teaching English language. Mark 11, 20. The second one is what? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, whoever shall say. So is that past in that place now? No, is this past tense now? No, look at this. No, look at this. No, look at this. What I'm trying to tell you. See, for I say unto you, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall, you know that shall, because of the word, because of the shall, it's because of qualify, because he's trying to say something that, anyway, it's not English. But when you are now saying, if you are saying, I am saying to this mountain, is it past tense? Do you know, exactly. So don't go and just be saying you push strong and then you now press strong and strong say definite, but you don't know Hebrew. How Hebrew did their own verb and adverb and then you are running to it. Okay, look at Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, whosoever. I love that. That is why Pastor was talking about authority and he said is a field of words. You don't have to be a believer to have what you say. Do you understand? You don't have to be a believer. So some persons will think that it is just because you are a believer. That's why confessions matter. No. You can be a stark unbeliever and a stark illiterate. Not knowing one thing in the Bible. But if you keep saying it, it will take someone with maybe a higher authority or whatever to counter it. But if it's just you, your life, that nobody's saying anything and you keep saying, that's what you see. It is whosoever, not say any believer, whosoever. Praise God, of course. But when, as believers, it gives us a direction. It gives us, it makes us know things according to the will of God. And because what we are saying is actually what we have and we are entitled to in Christ, ours is, of course, superior and guaranteed. Praise God. So, for I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, I put it to you, men and brethren, you know, I am the teacher. It is past, future, present, continuous, all in all. But it is, the primary thing is that he shall have whatsoever he says. Do you understand? It is what you are saying that you will get. So if you said something 3 weeks ago, and you are saying something different now, what will you get? Do you understand what I just asked? If you said something 3 weeks ago, and then you are saying something different now, what will you get? Moses, what will you get? So if last month your faith was hyped, and then you were doing, I cannot be broke. You know those confession of it became poor so that I can be rich. You know, be using that one for material wealth, and so it tracks like Kafka. I just feel like dropping it. My microphone is about to fall from her. I've not seen that remove from anywhere. You've heard it before. It tracks like Kafka. Oh, you know that Jesus had a car? You don't know? He had a car. You've not seen that thing? They said Jesus had a car, but he did not talk about it because he said, I speak not of my own accord. So he had an Honda Accord. you think you've heard Rema? I will show you Rema, man. So Jesus had a Honda Accord. He said, I speak not of my own accord. He just refused to talk about his car. So, anyway. Let us be focused, Jai. So the person that is confessing and talking today, I cannot be broke, I cannot be this one. And then three weeks later, he is probably trekking and the sun has beaten him. You know, you are in one kind of place. The sun has, you know, there's a way sun can change your confession. The sun just dries up all the word in your head and then you don't know what you're saying again. You're just like, hey, Lord, where will this suffering end? Oh, God, I know that one day I shall have a car. Oh, Lord, I know that one day I will, oh, Lord, let me come into my rest quickly. You know, when you now start changing your confession. So what will, or you now start saying, ah, this Nigeria hard though. I don't, to even get this job now is connection. If you don't know anybody, every, because after you have applied to like 50 places and everybody rejected you, and then you just feel like, okay, to get a job is confession, is a what, long leg, I mean, it's called that thing. So what will you have? You have long leg connection. So ensure if you are, if you, that's the, what it was teaching there was doggedness in confession. As in, you must be dogged. That's why I said, if the purpose or the end result of confession is to get what you want to see, right? You are speaking it with a desired expectation in mind. And once that is what you are picturing, you will not stop saying it until what you are picturing becomes your reality. But if you are just confessing because you are told to confess, or confess because they said authorities in our words, and then you just start talking, you don't have any clear picture, it will be easy for your confession to change. But when you know that this is what I am waiting for, this is what I want to see, I want to see my genotype change to AA. That is my own, that is what me. Like, you know, it's very funny. Well, everybody, I don't know, because I don't want to believe that there are persons with special level of faith. I have a friend, a senior friend. He and his wife, then they were engaged, were both AS and AS. So they already decided to get married. And he said, and he doesn't believe he can have any secular child. Because, of course, we had another senior friend. Now that one was already married, AS, AS. So he was so sure that none of his children were going to be seclers. But the mom was, the both parents were panicking. These people have been engaged for over 5 years. They were going to get married, and the parents now suddenly started panicking again. I don't know. Just got upset one day. I just went to zero. I said, okay, I'm tired. I want the genotype changed to AA. And then you went to do tests and showed them. And if it was not AA, I showed, can I rest now? And they said, yes. And then they're not married. So, just like that. I also know someone that, that's why I said, depends. I know that's why I don't want to believe that we all have different level of faith. Because we're all given the same measure of faith. I mean, it's the faith in God now by measure. But the person that by reason of use has his own, you know, it's just what, if for example, you have not been the person that has been able to confess something to change, even in your own character, maybe one small character or something, I don't even know. And then all of a sudden you want to now confess and have a Range Rover Sport Evoque. Do you understand? No, now we have passed 2016, we are past 2018. Step up. So you're already in the future. So if you have not used that, your confession, to change small things, do you understand? Then all of a sudden you want to now start with this. First of all, you will not even know where to start from. First of all, you will almost be discouraged along the line. So it is persons that have, you have by over time, you've already, you, your persons are already used to this. That's why it is training, it is practice. There are other persons that, I know like three other persons, that their own genotype changed with over the years. And I know persons that are still waiting for it to change. I have two persons that, as a guy and a girl, that they want to get married, but they are waiting for one to change. He shall have whatsoever he what. And if that is your expected end, this is what I want, you will not stop saying it until you have it. So men and brethren, what are the five things? We are going to enter into a very beautiful year. You shall have what you see. Remember that it is not I had faith yesterday, or I had faith last week, and my faith of last week will carry me now, or my faith of last year will carry me now, or there was a time I was on fire for God and I knew all the things, blah, blah. You know, God does not work with that kind of past tense. It is what you say. Praise God. Are we going to persist in this? Are we going to cause the changes that we want to see? No way, no matter what, no matter what you, even after you've heard all the words and say, ah, Kubwa is for the Lord, this one, and then you go 2 months outreach and you cannot even get one person saved, and then you now start saying, ah, this town is hard. The Muslims here are very strong, and in fact, it is hard to get a Muslim state. Has your confessional changed? You shall have what you want. But if no matter, because the funny thing is, that is why you have to persist. Because situations we definitely want to, the human mind and the connection between the mind and the mouth is wired in such a way to say what you see, to speak your reality. So it is more like foolishness when you're even saying the things that are not. Because no other person can see it. You now look like you're in a world of your own. Like when Noah was saying flood will come and then nobody had ever seen the rain. It looked like he was mad. Do you understand? But that's what faith does. Your confession puts you in a world where, like, you're in a bubble shell. You are the only one that has that clear picture. Then you breath forth the reality you want to see. Like when Elisha was praying for the rain. Elijah was praying for rain. And then he was praying and praying. And why did he persist there? Because he knows rain will come. Abi? He knows rain was going to come. Even the king that was eating downstairs and the servant, everybody was probably not seeing the picture that he had. But he knows what he has seen and he knows what he has in his mind. And that is what he kept saying until it becomes a reality for every other person. So choose to use the words to define your own reality and not let your reality define your words. It is what you want. It is what you want. You shall have whatsoever you say it. So can you pick up your five stuff now? No, it's not a prayer. I'm not going to be leading you. You are just going to be making confessions over. Even as you're praying, as you're saying these things and more comes into your mind, you are free to write it down. The reason why it was said five is so that you can have a blueprint and a pattern. You are free to have as many as you want. Concerning families, concerning finances, concerning a job, concerning anything. What is the prevailing circumstance and what do you want? 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 Men make things happen on earth. Men like you and I. There is no special role God plays in the life of any person. He has given unto us the same measure of faith. How you use it, up to you. Because at the end of the day, you will not have an excuse. You will see persons with similar circumstances that changed it with no special weapon apart from the words of God in their mouth. And so you too, you will not have an excuse. You can also cause your own change. So you have 10 minutes. Ensure you use it well. Hallelujah. 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 Let's come together. You know, this is church is just to show you a pattern. Because if we say we are going to limit these things to church, we only come to church twice a week, and then the time we have for this will probably be less than 15 minutes. So it is going to definitely be beyond this place. Whatever you say now is what you are going to keep saying. It's what you're going to say tomorrow. It's what you're going to say next tomorrow. It's what you are keep. In fact, Pastor Jula, since I know him, there's something he keeps saying. I will rejoice even when I'm 80 years old. I will rejoice even when I'm 90. He keeps saying it, that there will not be a day where he will not be able to rejoice. That my bones will be strong. I will be able to rejoice. And then you keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. The things, the realities that we have in Christ, we are restored to a state where we are able to exercise full dominion. We are the ones that can have full dominion. We are the ones in Christ. But the funny thing is, there are things that even without your confession, you know you already have it. Confession just makes you aware, like righteousness, holiness. You don't have to confess to have it. Even if you decide to confess, I'm not holy from now to tomorrow, who is not changing nothing. Do you understand? It doesn't change anything. But there are some things that you have been given authority over the earth to change. If it pertains to your body, whatever you have not seen that pertains to the, you know, whatever is not part of what they call the finished works, just know you're the one that is finishing it. So your body, at least is this your resurrected body? Is this your glorified body? You know, so persons might feel I've seen this thing on, you know, Facebook is where you go to. I pity persons that say they learn doctrine on Facebook. The one I saw recently, the ones that are saying that they will never die, that they're not going to die physical death, that they will not never grow old, that they have eternal life, and the eternal life is already running. So this body, this is where they will be till Jesus comes. No matter when he will come, they will be like this. So revelations that even Apostle Paul did not know. I wonder why he did not know it. He would have been alive now, been a blessing to the church. So they have progressed beyond the Bible. It's very deep. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get upset with Paul for not knowing this realm. He would have been alive. So those people have gotten to that level. But you, I'm sure you use the word, except you also you have reached the level of two that you have already received your glorified body. But if you don't have glorified body now, then ensure this body, you make it glorious with your words. How? By ensuring you keep yourself healthy. Ensuring you keep yourself healthy. And if you see anything trying to happen to it, you stand again on the word. That is what Christ has done for you by giving you authority and giving you an assurance that victory is sure. You know, when you fight from a standpoint of victory, that you are very sure that last, this victory is mine. You are dogged. You are dogged. So continue. If it relates to your academics, if it relates to, I saw somebody one day that the person was coming to tell me that my own issue is that she's very dull. And she cannot understand anything they tell her. Even no matter the book she reads, she cannot understand it. I'm like, seriously? Who told you? See how the teachers have been saying it. And she herself now, she cannot understand anything she reads. And I didn't even know where to start from. I don't know. Okay. Just know that whatever it is that you don't want, don't accept it. Don't accept it in your thoughts. Don't accept it in your confessions. Because when you have started saying the same thing that every other person is saying over you, it means you have accepted it. Do you understand? So whatever it is that you don't like, refuse to accept it. Whether it has stayed for years, whether it's academics, whether it's family, whether it's relationship, whether it is health, whether it's finances, just refuse to accept it. A friend of mine said, in our own family, all the second daughters from generations that they could trace, all the second daughters, their husbands usually die early. And then she married this my friend that I said changed his own genotype. And he said, well, the best you can do for your life is just to marry me. I'm not dying. I'm not going anywhere. I will live till I'm old. I'm not dying young. And, do you understand? So he married our own mother is the second daughter, and that one's mother, the husband died early. So they could trace it. They were seeing it. Every second daughter in the family, their husbands die early. And the man said, I'm not dying. I'm not going anywhere. If you can go and marry somebody else, I don't know. But me, I am not dying early. I said, good. Do you understand? Don't let anybody else. So persons will just say, I know somebody like Moses say, I'm not marrying again. Sister, don't worry, your boo is in front. No. If you don't want it, don't accept it. Do you understand? There's no situation that cannot be changed. You just have to be dogged. At least you are not like Noah that is saying one thing for 120 years. You know, I want it not up to 120. Even if it's 1 year, if it's 6 months, don't give up. You leave this place, keep saying it. Even if we change to another topic, we switch to something else tomorrow, next year, until you see the change you desire, don't change your confession. And even when you have it, you keep saying it. Praise God.